Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, right now, happening at this moment, world leaders gather at the G20 summit in Rome, of all places, Rome, to create global vaccination task force that is centered around buying and selling. Finance and health ministers from the world's 20 biggest economies, the G20, said today that they wanted 70% of the world's population vaccinated against COVID-19 over the next 8 months and created a task force, I call it the COVID police, to better fight the pandemic, quote, to help advance toward the global goals of vaccinating at least 40% of the population in all countries over the next 2 months and 70% of the global population by mid-2022. If you were waiting for the official launch of the global COVID police force, working to ensure all humanity receives the mRNA vaccine, here it is. Habakkuk 1:5 says, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we know that you're tired and you're so worn out about dealing with the ever-increasing fascist vaccine mandates, and we feel your pain. But you better buckle up, because as incredulous as it may be, this pandemic is just getting started. In Rome right now, world leaders are meeting at the G20 to create a global vaccination police force to inflict the COVID vaccine on all humanity. And when that is accomplished, and it will be, tie every living soul to digital biometric identification. If you've been paying even the least bit of attention over the past 22 months, we are on day 594 of 15 days to flatten the curve. If you've been paying even the least bit of attention over the past 22 months, you know that all this was prophesied by Bill Gates, the United Nations, and the World Health Organization. What is happening right now is what the fact checkers tell you does not exist. And they say that you're a conspiracy lunatic if you believe it. And yet here it is. Today on the podcast, you will see the global digital identification system already up and functioning in India and preparing to be implemented by the United Nations. President George H.W. Bush told you on September 11th, 1991, that the New World Order would be under the authority of the United Nations. You should have believed him. He was telling you the truth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for all these that you've gathered here today. We pray, Lord, for lost souls. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky. We pray for Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark. We pray for Jeanette's granddaughters, Cheyenne, Bridget, and Tony, and their nephew, Matthew. We pray for Trevor, Derek, Adam, Jordan, my three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David. We pray for Jesse, and we pray for Rachel's dad, Ralph. Cindy Kettlecamp is recovering nicely from COVID, and she thanks everyone for their prayers. We pray for Sammy in South Africa battling leukemia, Harmon's son Michael with pancreatic cancer, Clayton Perry, Jesse Spurlock, Becky Markovich, Jerry Rogalski, all battling cancer. We pray for Paul Kreitz, recovering from a massive heart attack. Malia McLean, complications from Lyme disease. We pray for Keith Ham's wife, Sherry, with stage 4 cancer. And Hal needs a lung transplant. Elizabeth, Jeanette's mom. Many people today have an unspoken prayer. We pray for Suzanne Wood battling depression and diabetes. We pray for Dana's husband with medical issues. May Samuels needs a healing. Alan Harden is asking for prayers for Charlie Harvey's health, family, and finances. Scott is looking for a new job after a leg injury. Refran L. Shikari says, I have low tinnitus the last 12 to 13 years, and it's become really loud. It's causing me anxiety, stress, and insomnia. I don't know how to survive this. Please pray for me. Pastors John Ree Danry and Arnell in the Philippines. Pastor Fojon in Vietnam. We pray for Jeffrey in Ohio, street preacher. We have a lot of street preachers. Jeffrey in Ohio, Kyle in Baton Rouge, Mike Hensel in Ohio, Joshua Gaskins, Virginia, Werner Bukes, Canada, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Canada, Marie in Philadelphia, Adrian in Toronto. Maria Welch has a praise report. Update on Jessica, 50 days sober. She's going to meetings and she's going to church. Her mom, Maria, is very grateful and thankful for your prayers. Pastor John Ree said, two souls got saved last week. One of them is my cousin who had a stroke. Please pray. Lori Perry, healing after surgeries and very, very grateful for all of your prayers. Jay from Wisconsin says, thanks to everyone for your prayers. Bob is doing a lot better after having open heart surgery. And our son's families are beginning to feel better from COVID. Praise the Lord. Shannon said, prayers of protection for the NTEB family, including me and Lori Ann and Jeanette and Harmon. Thank you very much. Melissa says, prayer request for my family and I. We have not been feeling good all week. Bruce Bridges, please pray for deliverance from this place. Amen. Flight 777. Susan says, please pray for Susan's entire Roman Catholic and Russian Orthodox family, that they read the Bibles that I sent them and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing like seeing a Roman Catholic get saved. Melissa says, please pray for Patrick, who is battling with Jesus. Mike Hensel, prayer request that I will not need a knee replacement. Shannon, prayer for all the souls that we have all touched with God's word to be decided according to God's will and purpose. Shaycaster says, please pray for the lonely shut-ins who have been forgotten by family. Karen says, please pray for my brother-in-law, Chuck, as he is in the ICU right now with COVID with pneumonia and not doing well. Mark R. says, pray for tracts I have been handing out that it would speak to their hearts. And guest S. says, please pray for my friend. Her husband has to get the vaccine for work, but he wants to. She also shared that he's an atheist. Oh, boy. We have a full plate today. I like a full plate. I like a full chat room. I like a full cup. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Kathleen in New Jersey says, feeling especially grateful today, celebrating my semi-retirement, finishing my doctorate by the end of the year, if we're still here, amen. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Shannon says, thank you, Jesus, for all the opportunities that you give us. And we're praying for Nat's Catholic sister. Also, other sister, and I have a brother-in-law who's Russian Orthodox. Lord, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we thank you, God, that we're a praying people. We thank you, God, that you hear and answer prayers. We thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly before the throne room of grace and crying, Abba, Father. And, Lord, hear all these prayers today as we talk about these end times things, and it's a lot of stuff, crazy stuff, but we thank you, God, and we praise you, and we ask you to do, Lord, that which we can't do for ourselves. We ask you to do for us, God, that which only you can do. We ask you to take control of this program, Lord, lead and guide. And Father God, I pray that many hearts would be convicted today, that saved people who perhaps have allowed themselves to get lukewarm would get back on fire for you. And I pray, Father God, that this revival at Now the End Begins, seeing people get saved and seeing people get on fire for you, we pray, Lord, that this revival would continue and not slow down but increase. We ask you, Lord, to expand our borders. Give us even a larger global audience. Lord, you have us now in 130 different countries. Lord, we pray for 150 different countries. And Father God, meet with us here today. Do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. Work and move in a mighty way. And hear all these prayer requests, Father God. All these praise reports. We ask you to order and reorder the steps of people who are praying today. Heal the sick, Lord. Restore finances. Restore relationships. Mike Hensel says, pray for Kentucky Jeff. He will be at the Ohio State Penn game preaching today. Guest V says, prayers for my unsaved Roman Catholic family. Cheryl H., safe flight for my son today. It's very windy here. And friend Doug, who's been in the hospital for 2 months. Chris says, please pray for my daughter Riley for salvation and healing from depression and anxiety. So, Lord, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we ask you, Lord, to answer these prayers for your good and for our glory. No, I have that backwards. We ask you, Father God, to answer these prayers for your glory and for our good. It's never about our glory, Lord. It's about your glory. And we commit this time to you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad you're here today. As you can see, I'm a little bit tongue-tied today. And one of the reasons for that is I have such an overwhelming plethora of information to give you guys today. There is so much that we're going to talk about. There is so much happening. I can scarcely believe what I'm seeing with my own eyes and hearing with my own ears on a daily basis. And yet it's all true. And yet it's actually happening. Do you remember when they used to call you a conspiracy theorist? When you told people, and we've been saying this for years before COVID started. Now the End Begins told you that Bill Gates had a desire to vaccinate the whole world. We told you that back in 2013, back in 2014. You have to understand one thing. Everything that you're seeing happening over the last 22 months, day 594 to, you know, of 15 days to flatten the curve, you have to understand that all of these things have been prepared prior to the beginning of the pandemic in 2020. You have to understand that these things did not start in 2020. They have been going on for a long, long time. And 2020 was the year that they agreed to release everything and to say, okay, we have all our little ducks in a row. We've dotted all the I's and we've crossed all the T's. And now we are ready to release the New World Order. Doesn't that sound crazy? Doesn't it sound like I'm a conspiracy theory nut talking about a global plan to implement the New World Order? Yeah. That does make me sound a little bit crazy. Until...
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Are you crazy?
Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's impossible.
Is it? Or is it so possible that your head is spinning like a top?
It can't be.
Can it? Or is your entire world just crashing down all around you?
All right, that's enough.
Yeah!
So, September 11th, 1991, George H.W. Bush announced that the New World Order was coming. And last month in September, we did that 2.5 hour special on the New World Order and how it related to 9/11. If you haven't listened to that program, please go back and listen to it. It was one of the hardest hitting programs in terms of a podcast that we have ever done. But you have to understand, before I get into what's happening at the G20, which is happening right now, before I get into what's going to be happening next week at the COP26 Climate Change Conference, you've got to understand that the things that are happening, prophesied in the Bible, talked about in the book of Revelation, even going all the way back to Genesis chapter 49, Genesis chapter 49, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. So all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible talks about the coming last days. The Bible also said that when the last days come, the vast majority of people will not believe what they see and they will disregard what they hear. Habakkuk 1:5 says, behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, when? The last days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. And we're living in a day and age where these things are literally coming to pass as we watch. And people don't get it. Many saved, born-again Christians have their eyes closed, and they have their fingers in their ears. And they are not listening. And these things, which we're going to talk about today, have been in the works actively for about 75% of the 20th century. And then going into the 21st century, these things have absolutely accelerated. Now, Bill Gates told you that there has to be a plan to get rid of excess amounts of the population. He told you that in 2010 and he told you that in 2015. The plan has always been population reduction.
CO2 is warming the planet, and the equation on CO2 is actually a very straightforward one. If you sum up the CO2 that gets emitted, that leads to a temperature increase. And that temperature increase leads to some very negative effects. The effects on the weather, perhaps worse, the indirect effects in that the natural ecosystems can't adjust to these rapid changes, and so you get ecosystem collapses. Now, the exact amount of how you map from a certain increase in of CO2 to what temperature will be and where the positive feedbacks are, there's some uncertainty there, but not very much. And there's certainly uncertainty about how bad those effects will be, but they will be extremely bad. I asked the top scientists on this several times, do we really have to get down to near zero? Can't we just, you know, cut it in half or a quarter? And the answer is that until we get near to zero, the temperature will continue to rise. And so that's a big challenge. It's very different than saying, you know, we're a 12-foot high truck trying to get under a 10-foot bridge and we can just sort of squeeze under. This is something that has to get to zero. Now, we put out a lot of carbon dioxide every year, over 26 billion tons. For each American, it's about 20 tons. For people in poor countries, it's less than 1 ton. It's an average of about 5 tons for everyone on the planet. And somehow we have to make changes that will bring that down to zero. It's been constantly going up. It's only various economic changes that have even flattened it at all. So we have to go from rapidly rising to falling and falling all the way to zero. This equation has four factors, a little bit of multiplication. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero. And that's going to be based on the number of people, the services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy. So let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero. Now, that's back from high school algebra. But let's take a look. First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
So there you heard Bill Gates tell you that through the combination of vaccines and abortion, whenever a liberal talks about reproductive health services, they are always talking about abortion. They are never talking about anything else. They are certainly not talking about giving birth to babies. So whenever you hear a liberal talking about reproductive health services, in 10 out of 10 cases, they are talking about abortion. So in this 2015 TED Talk, you just heard Bill Gates say that the way to reduce the population is through abortion and vaccinations. Now, you'll remember that Bill Gates has already told us that growing up as a child, his father ran Planned Parenthood. And when Bill Gates and his sister would sit at the dinner table with their father and mother, the conversation would be about eugenics. They would sit and they would talk about how they can reduce the global population through reproductive health services, meaning abortion, which his father ran Planned Parenthood, and administering vaccines. Take a listen to Bill Gates telling you that his father ran Planned Parenthood.
An issue that really grabbed me as urgent were issues related to population, reproductive health.
But did you come to reproductive issues as an intellectual?
When I was growing up, my parents were always involved in various volunteer things. My dad was head of Planned Parenthood. And it was very controversial to be involved with that.
So there you have Bill Gates telling you, that was an interview from about 12 years ago, and there you have Bill Gates telling you that how controversial it was when his father ran Planned Parenthood. And they would sit at the dinner table and talk about aborting babies and vaccinating the entire world. Now, do you remember this clip from last year from the United Nations when they rolled out their biometric digital ID wallet? Take a listen to the official commercial from the United Nations talking about how they gave biometric digital identification to every single one of their global employees. Take a listen.
Digital transformation is changing the way we manage our data, our information, our interactions, and our identities online. The United Nations is ready to digitally transform how it deals with identity, with a system to streamline information sharing, daily workflows, access to platforms and buildings, operating across agencies, by providing its personnel with a universal system-wide identity solution. Introducing the UN Digital ID, a unique and digital identity for UN personnel from the day you join to the day you part. All of your personal, HR, medical, travel, security, payroll and pension data in the palm of your hand, giving you full control on what you share and with whom. With blockchain and biometrics, the UN Digital ID makes verification efficient, secure, transparent, immutable, portable, and universal. It's been piloted by different agencies and the UN Pension Fund, where they've replaced current manual processes with certainty for who and where pension recipients say they are at any given time. Imagine a regional field officer has just joined the UN. She uses the mobile app to obtain a digital wallet, stored securely in her smartphone and only accessible to her with biometrics. Even better than a physical wallet, she can store all her credentials issued by any UN organization in her digital wallet. She has immediate access to course certificates, travel clearances from UNDSS, medical records from allergies to vaccinations, also making any transfer to another organization a breeze. As innovation transforms the world, we can improve the way we manage our identities online. UN Digital IDs, a building block for digital cooperation, unlocking the promise of the SDGs.
So that was in about April of 2020. Everybody was so concerned about being locked down. Not a whole lot of people paid attention to the United Nations commercial telling you about the launch of their biometric digital identification for all of their tens of thousands of global workers around the world. Now, we played that clip for you on the podcast last year. If you're a longtime listener of this program, then that clip was not new to you. But there's a lot of people here in October of 2021 who've never heard that clip. A lot of people don't know that on August 5th, at the end of the summer this year, the digital ministers approve a declaration identifying 12 actions to accelerate the digital transition of the economy and the governments. Back on August 5th, the G20 ministerial meeting was held in Trieste, and it was chaired by the Minister for Economic Development, Giancarlo Giorgetti. And they placed the issue of the digital transformation of productive activities towards sustainable economic growth at the heart of the debate, with a particular focus on micro, small, and medium-sized enterprises, social inclusion, governance, and the development and application of innovative technology. Now, these G20 members back in August of this year, they signed a declaration that identifies 12 actions that need to be taken to accelerate global digital transition. Now, what does that mean, global digital transition? It means you're going to get an implantable biometric digital ID. That's what it means. Now, don't be surprised. The book of Revelation told you 2,000 years ago about an implantable device that goes inside your body. Do you realize? I want you to think about this. Do you realize that when John wrote the book of Revelation and he talks about the mark of the beast, there was no technology to inject something inside your body. There were no hypodermic needles. There were no glass syringes. Nobody injected anything into their body. Certainly not something that was able to control buying and selling. Revelation 13:16 says, "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Now, I want you to think about this. John has never seen a hypodermic needle. Nobody who was alive in the year 96 was able to inject anything inside their bodies. So I want you to think about this now. I want you to think about this. Here we have 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John is writing about people getting something injected inside their body, and yet the means to inject something into their body did not exist. Do you see how accurate your King James Bible is? And do you see how dangerous it is to be reading from a Bible that when you get to Revelation 13 tells you, let me read Revelation 13:16 in the NIV Bible. And I put Bible in quotation marks. Revelation 13:16 says, it also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their forehead. Do you realize how dangerous it is if you're going to try to get your knowledge of the future, if you're going to try to understand Bible prophecy from a book that's not a Bible, but pretends to be a Bible? Do you see why we stand on the King James Bible? Revelation 13:16 says, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads. Revelation 13:16 says, and he causes all. Antichrist. Revelation 13:16 in the NIV Bible says, and it causes. How come the NIV won't tell you the nature of the Antichrist? How come the NIV won't tell you the identity of the Antichrist? How come the NIV Bible wants to deceive you into thinking that the mark of the beast is not something that goes inside your body by means of injection? See, all this stuff makes me a little hot under the collar. But I think you can see why. Do you realize that the ASV, the RSV, the NIV, the ESV, if you're a Southern Baptist and you have an ESV Bible, shame on you. Don't even call yourself a Christian. Do you realize how dangerous these versions are? And every single one of them, except the King James Bible, is defending Antichrist and covering up for what the mark of the beast truly, actually is. And the way that the mark of the beast is applied to a human body is through injection. Now, why is that important? Because the whole world is being injected right now. Am I saying that the vaccine is the mark of the beast? No. But am I saying that the vaccine leads you to the mark of the beast? Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes, to quote D.L. Moody. Now, why are we talking about vaccines and injections and the mark of the beast? Today, in Rome, and if you know anything about Bible prophecy, the Antichrist is going to rule over the revived Roman Empire. Read Revelation 17, read Revelation 18. And right now in Rome, and I'm reading from Reuters.com, finance and health ministers from the world's 20 biggest economies, they call that the G20, said on Friday, today, that they would take steps to ensure 70% of the world's population is vaccinated against COVID-19 by mid-2020, and they're creating a task force to fight future pandemics. Do you realize what that actually is? That is a COVID police. You heard Bill Gates say a clip from 2015. You heard Bill Gates tell you that the way that you reduce the population is through abortion and vaccinations. And that's exactly what you're seeing happen right now. The CDC, I want you to think about this. New York Times from yesterday. The CDC is now recommending that everybody who suffers from mental health issues, including depression and schizophrenia, have just been added to a list of people that have to be vaccinated against COVID-19. And I will read to you directly from this article. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has amended its website to add mental health illness, including depression and schizophrenia, to its list of health conditions that make people of any age more likely to catch COVID-19. The change, which the agency's website registered as having occurred on October 14th, that's 15 days ago, makes about 85% of the adult U.S. population eligible for booster shots. Dr. Paul Offit, a professor at the University of Pennsylvania and a member of the Food and Drug Administration's Vaccine Advisory Panel, says the door just keeps getting wider and wider. This is New York Times from yesterday. Now, if you have mental illness, they have just determined that you are at high risk to catch COVID. Now the CDC is saying, you need a booster shot. You need a vaccine. I read an article a couple of days ago where they try to make the claim that people who receive the COVID vaccine now have protection against all diseases. And I wish I would have saved that article, but I didn't save the link. But now they're claiming that if you will take the COVID-19 vaccine, not only will you be able to fight COVID, but you will have a higher level of protection against all illness and all diseases. Do you see where they're going? Do you see why the Apostle John tells you that the mark of the beast is injected in your body? Well, getting back to the August 5th meeting of the digital ministers of the G20, here are the 12 actions that they are now implementing. Number one, digital transformation in production for sustainable growth. Number two, leveraging artificial intelligence. Number three, practice measurement and impact of the digital economy. Number four, consumer awareness of the digital economy. Child empowerment, number five, in the digital economy. Number six, innovation for smart cities. That's a city that's always on. That's a city that tracks you everywhere you go. Number seven, connectivity and social inclusion. Number eight, free flow of data. Number 9, digital tools for public service. Number 10, digital identity. And I'll read this one to you. The importance of easily usable, reliable, secure, trusted, and portable digital identity solutions is recognized as a means to guarantee secure access to digital services to citizens and businesses, protecting their privacy. Digital identification is not going to protect your privacy. Digital identification is going to mark you to society. And then number 12, transformation of the task force into a permanent working group. Ministers commit to continue working towards digitalization for resilient, strong, sustainable, and inclusion recovery while tackling inequalities. Now, let me tell you a little story today about an article that we did just a couple of days ago. And I entitled this article, and I do love a good headline. I entitled this article, "Yes, Bill Gates is working around the clock to bring a global identification system based on the COVID immunity passport to every nation on Earth." This is something that if you Google it, the fact checkers will tell you that what I just told you is a lie. That's what the fact checkers will tell you. If you Google Bill Gates' digital ID, you will see the fact checkers telling you that what I'm about to tell you is a lie. But what I'm about to tell you is the God's honest truth. But what I'm about to tell you is absolutely what's happening. You know that Bill Gates likes to work in third world countries. And one of the reasons why Bill Gates likes to work in third world countries is because Bill Gates is the world's largest private donor to the World Health Organization. Bill Gates has given $4.1 billion to the World Health Organization. Now, why would Bill Gates give $4.1 billion to the World Health Organization? Because when Bill Gates gives billions of dollars to the WHO to show their gratitude, the WHO allows Bill Gates to go to Africa, India, and many other third world countries. And because Bill Gates gives so much money to the WHO, he has an open door policy to go to these foreign countries and experiment on the people who live in those countries. He lines up the children. He injects them with whatever his latest vaccine is. He tried to cure polio, actually caused more polio. Did an article here back in 2020 about the COVID vaccine. Remember when everybody said that they weren't going to have anything to do with the COVID vaccine? And then you blink your eyes and they're doing trials with 30,000 volunteers. Where did those 30,000 volunteers come from? So, Bill Gates gets to go to all these foreign countries and he gets to inject all these people with his latest vaccines. And for the last 20 years, Bill Gates has been allowed access to third world countries. And he goes down there and he experiments and he injects people. They have protests all the time in Africa, telling that they don't want Bill Gates' vaccine. They don't want his polio vaccine. They don't want his COVID vaccine. The people in Africa and South Africa, they know exactly who Bill Gates is. And they do not want him in their country. Now, you won't see that on CNN or MSNBC, all the people that cover for Bill Gates. But I did an article just 3 days ago. Bill Gates is working around the clock to bring you a global identification system based on the COVID immunity passport. And it talks about a system called the Aadhaar system. Now, you have probably not heard of the Aadhaar system. The Aadhaar system in India, is the largest biometric digital identification program ever constructed. Besides serving as a portal to government services, it tracks users' movements between cities, their employment status, and purchasing records. It is also a de facto social credit system that serves as the key entry point for accessing services in India. Bill Gates was a main financial backer of this Mark of the Beast style system. So I want you to think about this for a moment. Right now in India, right now in the nation of India, there is a system called Aadhaar. And it's a system that is the world's largest tracking database. And if you live in India, you know that what I'm telling you is the truth. You know that in India, they ration food. Can you imagine? I want to tell you about a woman. Her name is Etwaria Devi. And Etwaria Devi was a 67-year-old widow from the Indian state of Jharkhand. And you have never heard of Etwaria Devi. But, like 1.3 billion of her fellow Indians, Devi was forced to enroll in a biometric digital ID system called Aadhaar in order to access public services, including her monthly allotment of 25 kilograms of rice. When her fingerprint failed to register with the shoddy system, Devi was denied her food ration. So, I want you to understand that right now in the nation of India, the world's largest database tracking Mark of the Beast style system project is already up and functioning, and it has 1.3 billion Indians enrolled in this system. And many of the people who are in the Aadhaar system, they receive a monthly allotment of food. And in order to get that food, you have to go to a local center and you have to have your fingerprint put into the fingerprint reader. And if the fingerprint reader doesn't recognize you, you don't get the food. Well, Etwari Devi, she couldn't get that fingerprint reader to recognize her fingerprint. And then she died of starvation. She died of starvation in the nation of India because the Aadhaar system did not recognize her. You see where this is going?
Charter City is stunned by the sudden rollout of Rook Unlimited's most fantastic device ever. The Smart Mark. Throw your other devices away, because the Smart Mark is more than just a phone. It's part of you. Use it as cash. Book your travel. And even shoot video. Distribution points are all over the city. And don't let the lines discourage you. The Rook Unlimited Smart Mark is worth the wait.
I never realized how wonderful technology could make me feel. The Smart Mark has brought order to my life.
And the best part? It's absolutely free. A gift of thanks to our city from Rook Unlimited.
And the best part is, it's absolutely free. It's not free at all. This free system is going to cost you everything. Atwari Devi died because the Mark the Beast style system in India didn't recognize her fingerprint. And she died of starvation. Now, it's important for you to know that the man who created this system, this Aadhaar system, which is the largest biometric digital ID program ever constructed anywhere on the face of the earth. The man who created it, Nandan Nilekani. And Nandan Nilekani has been hailed as a hero by Bill Gates. Bill Gates has said that he desires to bring the Aadhaar approach to other countries. And I want you to remember, as we talk about this biometric digital ID program, I want you to remember that this program is not only functioning, it has 1.3 billion people enrolled in India. 1.3 billion, nearly the entire population of India, has been enrolled in the Aadhaar system. Bill Gates, the same person who wants to reduce the population through abortion and vaccination, Bill Gates, the same person who gave $4.1 billion to the World Health Organization so he can go experiment on people, the same Bill Gates says that Nandan Nilekani is a hero, and we need to bring his Aadhaar system to the entire world. I want to play this clip for you. It's a company by the name of Thales, T-H-A-L-E-S. You would think that would be pronounced Thales, but it's actually pronounced Thales. They are a military surveillance firm, and they're a NATO contractor. And they recently said that the vaccine passports are the precursor to digital identification wallets. The whole evolution of vaccine certificates will actually drive the whole field of digital ID. So therefore, says the CEO of iProve, a biometric ID company, so therefore, this is not just about COVID. This is about something even bigger. So I want you to understand today that everything that you see being labeled as COVID, that is being labeled as a vaccine passport, health passport, immunity passport, whatever you want to call it, this whole movement is a cover to bring the Aadhaar style biometric database where you have to have a thumb scan to get your monthly allotment of rice. This whole COVID thing, we told you from the beginning, the vaccine was not made for the virus. The virus was made for the vaccine. And if you don't believe that, you will disbelieve that to your own detriment. And this company, Thales, they're telling you that vaccine passports are the necessary precursor to giving the entire world a digital identification in a digital wallet. Now, let me play for you the recently released, brand new, hot off the presses commercial created by Thales, telling you about the benefits of the coming biometric digital identification system that the entire world is going to have. Remember, the G20 is in Rome right now, and they are creating a global COVID vaccine task force that will vaccinate 70% of the entire world by the end of next year. I told you that this movement to vaccinate people has very little to do with the COVID virus. Here in Florida, we now have the lowest COVID rate of anywhere in the country. We also have the highest creation of new jobs. Florida is a fantastic place to live. But I want you to understand that even as COVID rates begin to fall and COVID becomes a chronic, seasonal, yearly thing like the flu, I want you to understand that the COVID vaccines are never going to go away. Because the vaccine was not made for the virus was made for the vaccine. And as all these biometric companies are telling you, it's not about COVID-19. It's about getting you to receive biometric tracking digital identification. And if I was to post today's podcast to YouTube, it would be taken down in 15 minutes. And I would very likely lose my entire channel. And what I'm telling you is the absolute truth. And the fact checkers work day and night. They work overtime to get you to believe a lie. Now, I want to play for you the brand new commercial from this company, Thales, who I just read to you the quote where they say that vaccine passports are the precursor to digital identification wallets. This commercial, take a listen.
Hello everyone, meet Lucy, student in psychology, and me, her digital ID wallet issued by the government to offer a wide range of identity services. In fact, I'm a handy way of proving and protecting her identity both online and face-to-face. Let's have a closer look at what I can do. I can help governments to better communicate with citizens. Right now, I'm reminding Lucy of the appointment she needs to schedule for her mandatory vaccination. Time to go to her exam. Lucy is a bit stressed out. I'm here to make it easy for her to prove she is the right candidate, with a quick and secure connection between her phone and the examiner's. Exam passed successfully. Quick stop at the doctor's before celebrating, and no time to lose. On the way, Lucy uses me to declare her passport lost. She needs it for her upcoming road trip. No issue. She can request an emergency digital passport without having to go to the authority office. I make official admin a lot smoother. And that's not all. I can also help Lucy request a birth certificate, pay her taxes, or prove who she is when onboarding to new services, such as opening a bank account. I allow Lucy to certify her health care coverage entitlement. She's able to decide whether to authorize the doctor to access her medical records or not, ensuring her control over her personal data. Lucy needs one more thing before being all set for her trip to Australia. Renting a car. I help her share her driver's license credentials online, so that she doesn't have to wait hours in a queue to collect the car when she gets to Brisbane. The rental company benefits from secure and accurate information, and Lucy from a smooth experience. Lucy's friends are waiting for her inside the bar, To allow her to get in, I simply generate a QR code that proves Lucy is old enough, so she doesn't have to share all her ID details with the bar staff. So yes, I'm Lucy's best companion. I protect her identity and official credentials wherever she goes. I provide secured access to public and private services and allow her to have full control over her data privacy. In other words, I give the right access to the right data to the right person. I am also trusted by governments to best support countries' digital transformation, fight against ID fraud, and deliver smooth public services. I am the Talis Digital ID Wallet.
So there you have it, the Talis ID wallet. And if you noticed, that entire commercial was telling you that it's the digital identification that allows Lucy to do all these things. If Lucy didn't have this digital identification, Lucy would not be allowed to go to these places. Lucy would not have access to go to the doctor, to go and buy food, to go and buy medicine. Do you realize how scary all that is? But would you believe me if I told you that these things are in place right now? They're in place in India right now with the Aadhaar database. And it doesn't matter how low that COVID rates go. It doesn't matter if COVID was to disappear off the face of the earth tomorrow. The vaccines would not stop. The vaccine passports would not stop. And everybody wants to argue about, is there a microchip in the vaccine? Does it really matter if there's a microchip in the vaccine? Don't you realize the larger picture of what this system is all about? This system is taking you to the mark of the beast. This system is taking you to a time and place where you will not be able to function without your biometric digital identification that goes inside your body. So here we have the G20 today. And the G20, well, they're all excited over there in Rome. They're all excited because they are creating a COVID vaccination global task force. Now, you know that once you have the whole world vaccinated, then you got to have the whole world being able to prove that they've been vaccinated, which is exactly what that clip was telling you. Lucy can't do anything without her biometric digital identification opening the doors and allowing access. And this is exactly what they're working on right now. This is exactly what Bill Gates is working on night and day to bring to pass. This is what they're working on right now at the G20 in Rome. The Bible says that Rome is the type of the world. The Bible says that through the revived Roman Empire will come the beast and the false prophet. Bill Gates doesn't like it when people talk about him. He says it's nothing but conspiracy theory.
我注意到在美国也会有一些网友甚至攻击您说病毒是从您疫苗的这个研制过程中出来的。您在用什么样的心态面对这种声音?
I'd say it's an ironic if you take somebody who's doing their best to get the world ready and, you know, putting in my case billions of dollars into these tools for infectious diseases and really trying to solve broadly infectious diseases, including those that can cause pandemics. But that, you know, we're in a crazy situation, so there's going to be crazy rumors. I hope whether it's individuals or countries, that in some ways this shows us how interdependent we are, that to stop a global pandemic, we need to find whoever's the best, whatever the best vaccine construct are, the best drugs, and we need to make it without just focusing on one country. We need to make it for the entire world, including for countries that don't have the resources to pay for vaccine research or vaccine factories. You know, they're actually, in many ways, should be the priority for what we do. So, you know, there's lots of attacks out there. In general, people have been very positive.
So there you have Bill Gates telling you he doesn't like the conspiracy theories. All the fact checkers will tell you that every time you bring this subject up, you're wrong, that you're giving misleading information, that you're giving misinformation. But yet the sad truth of the matter is that they are using COVID-19. They are using COVID-19 to give everyone in the entire world a biometric digital identification. Take a listen to Senator Amy Klobuchar from yesterday talking about what it will take to fix the supply chain crisis. Take a listen to this.
Yeah, you know, Senator, we're going to get to the deal that may be coming together this morning. First, you just got breaking news that the economy slowed down last quarter to 2%, in part because of the Delta variant, but also because of shortages. The supply chain shortages is causing scenes in American stores that I've never seen in my 58 years of life. You walk in to pick up something, and it looks like what we used to call the old Soviet Safeway in Washington, D.C., that had half the shelves completely cleared. How do we fix the supply chain and get this economy going again?
I don't think you'll be surprised by my first answer, and that's getting control on the Delta variant, because it's not just in our country, it's all over the world. And you're seeing these problems because you've got factory shut down here, factory starting up here, employment issues. This is what I would say. Number one, we've got to make sure that we get the vaccines out, not just in our country, but all over the world. Number two, we have workforce issues, and that means training, and that's one of the reasons I'm so in favor of the Build Back Better agenda. It also means to me immigration reform in areas like in my state where if you have shortages, getting those visas going again, doing...
So there you have Senator Amy Klobuchar telling you that the only way to solve the supply chain crisis is everybody has to be vaccinated. You have the CDC telling you that mental illness is a terrible thing, and the only way that you can deal with mental illness is that they all have to be vaccinated against COVID-19. So today and tomorrow in Rome, they're working on vaccinating the entire world and then giving the entire world a vaccination passport. Take a listen to what Tony Blair has to say. Tony Blair said this: allowing international travel to resume safely means that we must all take possible steps to limit the spread of new COVID-19 variants. We urgently require an internationally recognized system of health passes, enabling travelers to quickly and easily prove their health status in a secure and privacy-preserving way. The Good Health Pass Collaborative is doing vital work to develop the standards necessary to support this. The G20 group of nations should commit to establish a network of globally interoperable health passes and set up the working groups needed to deliver it. So that's what Tony Blair is saying. He used to be the Prime Minister of England. And everywhere that you look, this is what they're working on. This is where they're bringing you to. So getting back to the Aadhaar system, I want to remind you of a few things about Bill Gates. Bill Gates said that he loves the Aadhaar system in India, which is the world's largest biometric digital identification project. Bill Gates says that the man who invented it, Nandan Nilekani, is a hero. And we need to bring the Aadhaar approach to other countries. Well, Bill Gates is bringing the Aadhaar approach to other countries. In America, back in March, Microsoft rolled out something that they call their Daily Pass. And they use the Los Angeles Unified School District as the guinea pigs. Why would they do that? Because the Los Angeles Unified School District has 500,000 students. And then, of course, there's thousands of teachers and workers and all sorts of other people. But Microsoft created an Aadhaar-style product called Daily Pass. And they rolled that out at the beginning of this year in Los Angeles. And they say that it's been a great success. And what is Daily Pass? It's a tracking system. You can't come in, you can't go out. If you don't have the green light from the Daily Pass, remember when we listened to that Taylor's commercial about Lucy? Lucy could only go to the doctor because her biometric ID said she could. She could only go have a drink with her friends because her biometric ID said that she could. These things aren't conspiracy theory, they're not fantasy, and they're not even future. These are things, everything that I'm telling you is happening right now. Take a listen to Daily Pass Microsoft, Los Angeles School District. Here's a commercial for it.
Welcome to the Daily Pass, the one-stop shop digital tool to gain entry to a Los Angeles Unified School campus or district office. This tool, which was developed for Los Angeles Unified in partnership with Microsoft, allows individuals to answer daily health check questions, receive a Daily Pass QR code, schedule a COVID-19 test, as well as receive test results and reminders. The Daily Pass is available to all Los Angeles Unified employees, parents, and visitors. Students who are 13 years and older, parents will need to complete the Daily Pass health check for their child who is under the age of 13 via their computer, tablet, or any mobile device. To obtain your Daily Pass, which follows guidelines set forth by the LA County Health Department, simply go to dailypass.lausd.net and click on Parents. Parents will need to log in using their parent portal account. Parents can register for an account by clicking the first link provided on the main login page. Once logged in, click on Get Daily Pass. Select the person or people for whom you are creating a pass. Choose the campus or office you will be entering from the drop-down menu. Take the daily health check, which includes a commitment to healthy behaviors, as well as the county-required wellness and exposure check. Once cleared, a QR code will be generated for that date and site. Upon arrival at the school site, a school staff member, known as a welcomer, will scan the QR code at entry and take your temperature. Thank you for using the Daily Pass as we take every step to ensure we keep our school and workplace as safe as possible.
So there you have the Daily Pass from Microsoft. That's been in place for the last 6 months. These things are not future. These things are real and they're happening right now. Bill Gates is on a mission. And he's on a mission to bring these things to the entire world. And that's exactly what he's doing. So what they're doing at the G20 today, they are creating the framework so that they can get the entire world vaccinated. Bill Gates said that his dream, Bill Gates' dream, was to vaccinate the entire world. And so one of the companies that Microsoft created about 2.5 years ago, they created a company called ID 2020. And we told you about ID 2020 and how they were going to work with Big Pharma to combine digital identifications with vaccines. Now, we didn't tell you that after the pandemic started. We told you that back in October of 2019. We didn't tell you after the pandemic started. We told you before the pandemic started that Bill Gates had created a company called ID 2020. And their stated goal, their mission statement, is to combine mandatory vaccinations with digital identification. And we brought you that story on October 24th of 2019. So, the pandemic didn't create these things. The pandemic is the launching pad for these things. And that's what you have to understand. The pandemic did not create this. The pandemic is simply the launching pad to get all these things going, and that's exactly what we see happening. The G20, by the time that they're done for their meeting, they're going to have a framework in place to vaccinate 70% of the entire world by the end of 2020. Carl Sanders told you that this was coming 30 years ago.
Understand, first of all, that I'm not a medical doctor. I'm an engineer. And so my part of it was designing the microchip, not interfacing it to the nervous system and this type of thing. But byproducts that came from that were other microchips that began being used in places like Chino Prison. Instead of an lesion in the brain, they were using a microchip for sex offenders and child molesters. Now, folks, this was a progression of things that happened. And as it moved along, the chips became more sophisticated, and at one point they determined that we can't use a flat chip that has to be surgically implanted. This won't work. We got into designing cylindrical architecture, got into designing stack strata, and building a cylindrical chip. This microchip, in fact, my wife has got one in her purse. It's going to be difficult to pass it around to everybody in here. In some meetings we can do that. Here it would be a little difficult. But this microchip, very small, fits through an eye of a hypodermic needle. Now, right here in Spokane, or in Sacramento, you have been exposed to this in pets and this type of thing. We've been using it for brands. We've been using it for all kinds of things. There's a group called InfoPet down in Los Angeles that claims they can keep track of 1 billion pets to within 10 feet of where they're at. And so these things are here. The reason we're here and sharing with you tonight is that these things are real, folks. And we're moving to the positive identification of the microchip. I'm going to kind of bunch some things together here, but one of the things that happened was we went out, we spent $1.5 million doing some research on places to put the microchip. We had determined this chip has 250,000 components, a little lithium battery built into it, and a charging circuit. It fits through a hypodermic needle, and one of the problems was you got to recharge this thing. You can't run in and change your battery like you do on your watch once a year. And so they've got to recharge this thing. And so we had a charging circuit built into it. And it was a charging circuit built on temperature change. We spent $1.5 million, between $1.2 million and $1.5 million, trying to determine where the places on the body were that the temperature changed the most rapidly. They could have asked any mother. All they'd had to do was ask her, because the places they came up with, and I've got the reports back on it, the places they came up with were just below the hairline, on the forehead and on the back of the right hand. Two places in the body. A think it was kind of interesting because there wasn't an Antichrist in that group. There was 100 men involved in it, or actually 101 men and a couple of women involved in the project. There wasn't an Antichrist. There wasn't anybody that came in wearing long red underwear and a tail and a pair of horns. Everybody was, they were just guys trying to do a job. We had a lot of freedom in what we were doing. So
there you have Carl Sanders telling you 30 years ago, what was coming. Carl Sanders was a friend of mine. Carl Sanders, he told you the truth. That audio clip that I just played for you is back to the early 1990s. They told you it was coming. They told you it was coming. And now it is here. So some of the things that they're going to be working on at the G20 this year, they're working on getting the entire world vaccinated. They're working on getting the entire world a digital COVID identification to prove that you've been vaccinated. They're also working on digital currency. Now, what is the main benefit of digital currency? All they have to do is push one button and all your money is gone. Having a digital currency gives the world government complete and total control over every penny you have ever had, that you have ever saved, that you will ever earn. And once digital currency is in place, cash will no longer be accepted. Remember back in 1933 where President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he made it illegal for anyone in the United States to own gold. If you don't think that's true, go and Google it. 1933, the United States government made it a crime to personally own gold. And that's when FDR took you off the gold standard. And then we got put onto a silver standard. Then we got put onto a paper standard. Well, the next standard that's coming is a digital standard. And in that digital standard, there will be no gold or silver. There will be no paper money. There will be no coins. And that's why my friend Craig, he's fascinated by cyber currency. And he's been telling me all sorts of fascinating things that have been going on in the world of cyber currency. Well, that is one of the things that they're working on at the G20 right now. A global vaccine. A global vaccine identification. And digital currency. These are the changes that are coming. And they're going to make it impossible for you not to be vaccinated. And at some point, be it sooner or later, but at some point, whether you have an employer, whether you work from home, whether you're self-employed, no matter who you are, at some point, there's going to be the knock on the door. And if you want to exist in society, you are going to have to make a stand about the vaccine. Every single government on the face of the earth is in favor of vaccinating you with this vaccine. Every single government on the face of the earth is in favor of forcing you to carry digital biometric identification proving that you've been vaccinated. And every single government on the face of the earth is in favor of creating a digital currency. Now, what do all these things mean? Every single one of these things means the mark of the beast. Julie says, where do we go to escape this? There is no place to go. There is no place to go. These are the days that have been prophesied. That's why the Bible says, behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, For I will work a work in your day which you will not believe, though it be told you. Now, what are we to do in the meantime? People who believe the Bible, people who are born again, what are we to do in the meantime? I'll tell you what we're to do in the meantime. We are to continue to plunder Satan's kingdom and get out into the highways and hedges and preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God. Next week, we have a new billboard going up. A 40-foot billboard. And it's going to go up in downtown St. Augustine next week, in addition to the one that we already have downtown. Next week, we're putting up a 40-foot billboard that shows Jesus Christ high and lifted up on the cross. Jesus said, "And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." And we have this new 40-foot billboard going up next week. That's an expensive proposition that costs a lot of money to do things like that. So when we ask you to pray for these outreaches that we do, and we ask you to pray for this ministry, and we ask you to donate to these things, these are some of the things that your prayers and your donations are working to accomplish. So I want you to get excited about that. I want you to continue to donate to the Free Bible and Gospel Tract program. This month we're sending out over 2,000 King James Bibles around the world. But it's only possible because you give and you pray and you donate. And as this world gets darker, I want all of us to do more. I want to increase what we're doing. Julie asked, what do we do? Where can we go to escape all of these scary things that we've been talking about for the last 90 minutes? There is no place to go. We are here. We are in the days of prophecy. And either you believe that or you don't believe that. But if you believe it, then you're going to want to be on the side that's getting something done for Jesus Christ. So we ask you to continue to pray for this ministry and for our Free Bible and Gospel Tract program and for our Billboard Witness program. It costs thousands of dollars every single month to have these billboards up around St. Augustine. But over the next 8 weeks, millions of people are going to drive past these billboards. I want you to think about that. And if you think that's a worthy cause, I want you to pray about it. And I want you to donate to it so that we can put up even more billboards. And we can keep the ones that we have up, up. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. My throat is scratchy. My back is covered in sweat. This program for me today was a real workout. And I hope that I was able to effectually communicate to you the nearness of the time that we live in. I hope I was able to make you understand. Romans 13:11 says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed." If you believe the Bible, and you read the news, and if you have the Holy Spirit of God inside you, then you know that we are living in the closing seconds of the church age. And if you're going to get something done for Jesus Christ, now is the time. Don't put it off. Don't wait. C.T. Studd said, "Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last." And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. Thank you so much for being part of this program. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m. for another NTEB House Church Sunday service. Have a great weekend, everybody. And make sure you get out there and hand out gospel tracts. Tell a lost soul about Jesus Christ. Amen.
Start to believe you don't have what it takes, 'cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. But don't forget what lies ahead. Between where we are right now and where we're meant to be. Where